So this, are you on?
Yep, we just.
The session of the Independent Oversight Committee South is now called to order. Date, of course, is the 17th of December. The time is approximately 10:35 a.m. And we have almost a forum. I think others are joining in on the conference call. So we'll go around and introduce everybody so it's on the record. But I think there's more calls coming in.
Yes, ready?
This is Veronica with ABOA.
How was it going to share his other things with us? Chair Governor Kleski, so this is Chair Governor and Adoption.
Ben Carroll's and our client is on the phone from Beach or Fiona, so. Joe, are you on the line?
Yep, Joe Bashinsky. Yes, I am. I'm here. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Someone else just joined us on the phone?
Hi, everyone. Sorry, this is Sophie with United Healthcare. I had to call back in.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie. I'll ask you to comment about it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Sophie. Anyone else that Joe's returning or not?
Yeah.
Anyone else in the line that has not introduced themselves?
Frederica is here still.
Thank you, Frederica. Access? I'm just going to ask everyone if you could place yourself on mute. There is a little bit of feedback right now, but if you place yourself in mute, you'll be able to unmute yourself.
What's the code again?
This is Dorothy. I'm calling in.
What is the mute code?
That is star six to unmute and to mute yourself. Thank you very much.
This is Dorothy Yanez. I'm calling in.
Thank you, Dorothy. Anyone else that has not introduced themselves?
All right, well, listen, I know Jason is coming. He called me this morning as far as law enforcement, so we'll put that in a lower down when he comes to part of that item, lower down on the agenda. As far as our minutes review of that, is there anything we have in front of us or minutes to
Barbara has sent those over via email, I believe. The minutes.
I sent it out to you, but there is a link, and to please listen to those that came out in that email I sent, which included the North's
bylaws.
Thank you. And I had a link there to listen to, go to the website. I went out there myself, and there's a link that you can just play the notes from each one.
So the answer is we don't have a hard copy.
There's no hard copy. I don't know how to get it.
Not the transcribe, yes, yet. It would have to be a paid program. So the ones, the transcribe programs, because I know we mentioned that before when we talked. But there is not any free services. It would have to go, it would have to be a purchase service. So in order for us to do that, we would have to go through procurement process. So there is currently not an approved vendor for transcript programs at ADOA, but we will definitely get that initiated sooner than later.
We don't have that. Yeah. And we don't have any bylaws.
I did make hard copy. I sent
anybody
electronic
copy.
I guess. I didn't know. Yeah, I'll discuss it too. Again, after going through it, I'll just throw this out on the bylaws. I did go through them.
They are yours, and I see the reason why we couldn't adopt them, because they were based on ours anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I just exchanged the north or south, and I'm just throwing that out to anybody's. But if they would read them and see if they concur, we can maybe take a vote eventually. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to them as far as updating where we are. Thank you. So, member recruitment, is there any? This may be somebody calling in. Hello? Yeah, Jason, the word 446. Are you in the building? There's a flyer on the door as you come in. 446. Thank you for calling, Jason. I'm glad you took the call because I wouldn't want to take the call on your office. So that's good. Jason's here. Okay, back to bylaws you left off, and we'll come back to finalizing.
Maybe let's shoot for January. I throw that out there.
Yeah,
that'll give people time because it's such a busy time. It's not all that long. It's quite short.
Let's see if any reserves need to be made or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Just glance.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be swell. And I'm sure we've all had a conversation on some people who would like to be here.
Okay, member recruitment again, back to as Herbert said. Anyone else could feel free to share the invitations. Free to parking is free, also.
Yes.
Anyone needs a ticket as far as getting out of the garage, it's available here. So if you're not paying for a garage park, I know you know that, but okay. Incident death events, are we getting anything yet? Or the person?
I don't do deaths and incidents.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else is. See Joe Buena and was going to look into doing it. I don't know, can Joe doing those again?
I asked Joe, and I think he's passed on. I think even when he was here, he didn't feel comfortable doing it. Yeah.
Oh.
On that, again. Joe, we're still looking for some help. If you do have any time on incident or seclusion restraints, but I think you said you're pretty busy.
Star 6 to unmute, Joe.
Yes, Ken. Yes, Ken. That's true.
Okay. Okay.
That's all I can say right now. Spending hours on
myself.
I spent some time
with them. Oh, yes.
No,
great.
It's just, for me, it's a goal.
I'm
sure loves to know. Because CJ did such a fine job on organizing the availability and then actually making the files. It all makes sense. The file makes sense.
So you're getting electronic copies, of course, but are you able to come there and see that those are copies of the hard copies on it, or is it strictly
electronic? It's all electronic. There's no hard copy.
As opposed to hard copies copied on the electronic. You don't know. Yeah. Okay. So it's all electronic.
It's electronic.
As far as the data that's put in.
Yes.
That's right.
It's in a regular format now. And it's easy to read and easy to access if you get your
permissions. Rather than try to go back and, 10 years ago or whatever, I would suggest we just pick up where you are currently.
Right.
Or help not try to do it.
Yeah, it's quite overwhelming. There's a lot there. They don't keep that many months, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have to.
Yeah, so I'm not making it so overwhelming. Three up. 100, 400 of them, it's kind of overwhelming.
Right.
Give them down to 10 or 30.
So, so far we've reviewed about 10, and there was no comment. We don't have a comment on that system now. But I mean, if I did, I would make a hard word. It was just straightforward. So that's all I can say. But that's a goal. Just to get some more time in there. It's really now a nice setup.
Sure, well, there's some progress on that.
Yes.
Let me jump back to law enforcement. Jason's here. Jason, I know your schedule.
Hi, everyone. Sorry about that. Yeah, I know.
Crisis.
Well, this time of year is a little, it's a little extra. Yeah. Well, and then when it gets really cold too, you know, all the shelters and stuff fell off. And so it's just, yeah. Had deep freeze last night activated for the first time, I think, this whole year, actually.
Yeah.
So, but it was activated last night. So, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, but that is one of the things I want to make sure everyone knows is that probably for the next couple of days, deep freeze will be on at night. So if you're out in the community and that's a resource you need, you can always just give me a call if you need someone to get picked up or anything like that. The other thing I have was the legislative stuff. I don't have language yet that's able to be released, but our chief, Magnus, just went up to Phoenix yesterday and met with the Arizona Supreme Court Committee. So any day now, we're going to have kind of finalized language of what they want to change to Title 36. And it's going to be pretty expansive, at least the idea is we'll see how far it goes or if it gets out of committee or passed or anything like that. But to really kind of update and modernize the language in Title 36 to be more, in my opinion, at least inclusive of everything that's going on with what we're seeing in the population, at least. So the big things are that I saw on the changes were, you know, substance abuse, right, is always one of them. But that's kind of a Pandora's box, right? Because, you know, in Arizona, that's going to be like a six-figure, right, population. So I don't know about that part in particular, because I know a couple years ago they tried to change that. It didn't go very far for that reason. But the one that we're most interested in is like personality disorders and traumatic brain injuries. So really what they're looking to do is to try and change the language so that if someone has one of those conditions, but if they would still benefit from treatment, that we could capture that under Title 36, which we cannot now, either of those two things. And unlike substance, and I think I've mentioned this before to this group, unlike substance, which is a huge population, right? In the last 6 years with the traumatic brain injuries and the personality disorders, it's like 3% of our caseload, maybe. It's rare that we run into that. But the problem is they're some of the most acute cases we've worked in the entire, like they're the people that needed it the most. And we weren't able to get them, you know, into treatment. What we see with the personality disorders and the TBIs and the other kind of brain disorders is people can really escalate into that fight or flight. There's a lot of substance use that seems to go hand in hand with that. And so although it's not a big part of our caseload, it's an important part because some of the people that, you know, have done some really significant, you know, bad things, headline worthy things, right? Have fallen into that category and are currently excluded from Title 36. So,
jumping back to, you said Chief Max was going up to Phoenix, who's heading up the bill as far as legislative?
So that's actually a little bit above my understanding, right? So the Chief Justice of the Arizona State Supreme Court,
right,
the previous one,
yeah,
had a task force that's being run by Kent Batty. I don't know if some of you might know that name. And he's been around for a long time. And so the task force is gonna generate a big report that talks about a bunch of different things like guardianship and restoration issues that are happening in the courts and all of those different things. But one of the things the report's gonna do is what I just mentioned. So that's going to go from that committee to the Chief Justice, and then from the Chief Justice to the governor. And it'll be delivered to the governor as the courts think we should do this. And then you've got a bunch of other entities kind of signing on to that. So like you've got Chief Magnus. It looks like the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission, so the ACJC, is going to sign on and say, yeah, we agree. And so the governor will probably figure out one of the legislators he works with a lot to sponsor it. And ideally, that'll be how it kind of trickles down and then back up again, back to the governor. But I think I would be shocked if the Chiefs Association itself didn't endorse this. So all of them, basically statewide, like the Chiefs and Sheriffs Association. Yeah. The big thing is going to be, you know, some people are going to have concerns over cost. So we'll have to talk, we'll have to go up there and talk about how, you know, it's not like if we pass this, 1,000 people tomorrow are going to be hospitalized. You know what I mean? It's a small percentage of the population. And then I think, so that'll be one side of it. And then the other side is going to be like the advocacy, you know, component to make sure that, you know, we're still respecting the patient's rights and all of those things. But I think the biggest thing is when you go back and you look at those statutes, you know, the way they're even written, supposedly it was like in the early 1960s when these were last kind of updated in Arizona, at least. And the concept at the time was, well, these conditions are untreatable. So we're not going to put them in this category because there's nothing to be done basically for a person that has these issues. And of course, you know, 60 years later, right? Like we know that there are things we can do for that population. So it's really, I think, just explaining that to the people in the seats that are actually going to, you know, going to make the votes. One of the things for sure that I've noticed with this population, both of those issues, is they isolate completely. And so if Title 36 in my mind could be somehow leveraged to just get these people into, like, one of the things that I've read and I've seen that are like the group settings, like group therapy, like talk therapy type sessions, because this population seems to just in particular really, really isolate. So I think that'll be one way that we can try and get this population some help.
You guys started working with any of the diversion program you guys are working with?
Kodak. Yeah, I think what'll happen is if the law changes, right, ideally you'd see some specialty places that now, if they're able to bill, right, like the early intervention psychosis, like that started springing up because obviously some kind of funding mechanism must have opened up there, right? And now there's one on the east side off of Wilmot that's affiliated with TMC, I think. And so like that's an example of something we didn't have 5 years ago, right? So like, I mean, I guess in the world according to me, like, what do I know? I mean, I'm not, you know, a psychiatrist obviously, but like for the personality disorders, I mean, I'm sure for like TBIs and stuff, like there probably are already like specialists in clinics and stuff, but they're not able to bill the public system, right, currently. But if they could, if the law changed, I think in my mind, we'd see some specialty services start springing up around.
It just would be another tool in the tool belt.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, it's just those populations are hard to treat, and then when they're really at risk, you can't, that's just not another tool you have. So it just gives you another tool to help get them in treatment, stay in treatment, and support them.
Or people in the public system could access the existing resources if it was qualified, if it was a billable or qualified, you know, service. But yeah, we've really, and I think you just said it perfectly, because we've really been under the gun a few times where we've had to leave someone, you know, home or something that we probably shouldn't have, because we just don't have a mechanism to force any other option,
right,
you know, to happen there. And that's a really tough spot for us because, you know, we're driving away thinking to ourselves, oh boy, you know, we're going to be back here tonight or tomorrow or, right, yeah. So that's exactly, I think, the best way to put it is in those like real crisis situations, we'll have that tool now that we don't have, you know, currently.
They would just, if they were qualified, then they'd be acting like acting on that code. Medicaid exclusion.
Like anything else, I'm sure there'll be a lot of like things to, you know, wrinkles to iron out because it's a big change, you know what I mean? But so I think it'll be interesting. So, but I'll keep everyone updated as the process kind of rolls forward. So, for sure. That's it for me. Yeah.
I'll start a report back to Chief Agnes next week.
I should be getting that like today, yeah, because he was just in Phoenix all day yesterday.
Sarge.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I can hang out for a little bit today. Yeah. I don't have to run right away.
No.
Yes. Oh yeah, the two places that come to mind right away would be the Gospel Rescue Mission or the Salvation Army. But I do know the Gospel Rescue Mission. They just posted on Facebook yesterday. They were able to activate like an extra 40 beds, I think, because of the deep freeze thing. So they might have like an immediate need right now. If 40 people showed up last night, you know, that they weren't necessarily planning for. Oh, sure. That's very nice. Yeah. Well, there's the one on Miracle Mile, and then there's the one at like Palo Verde and.
Jump down to the site board here. Sharon and I were almost planning or planning to.
We almost went.
Good intentions. It's Jefferson Avenue location. 21 or something like that. Call there, and the message I got was that the housekeeper, whoever attended, wasn't the person in charge. She said she wasn't. She was, but she declined to. So there was only 15 people in the home, but they were all not in an allowed system, but in a private system, and that they were, for the most part, senior label, senior level care, but fairly independent, and that there was one individual who might qualify as a person in an allowed system. Okay. So I called her again to see what time would someone be there. I called a couple times, and Chair and I were going to go yesterday, Monday at 3 o'clock, and we do a home visit. And I couldn't get in once I get stuff off. I had to drive out there and, you know, and turn around, and there's no one there to let us in. So I think we'll start again and see if there's any other priorities as far as from your list, as well as, I mean, just looking at the special needs list doesn't tell you. Current nostalgia, sort of names of people, individuals, but somewhere I just looked at it. Rather, do you feel like the agencies are going out or doing any visits? In other words, when they do a visit for a home visit, is that somehow you guys are getting any kind of info on it?
It should be on the list that I provide, actually.
Yeah.
I have that information. I can't say 100% whether they're going out because I don't see them. Well, I would think it'd probably 100%. Be. But I mean, it's something that I can ask the housing supervisors if they're making sure that people are going out and visiting the workers, and how are they going about that process? What's their process to do that?
Yeah, I just find it hard to believe that in this large of a system we have, that there's just not one, not denying, but a question to you on that.
or just say everything's fine, and especially now, I want to do it previously in all the years, and be using sometimes an oven to heat up the house.
Right.
That type of thing, if they were lucky to have an oven there. So one wonders if it's just 100% compliance of all that. And so who's heading up housing now? Is that still?
For Arizona Complete Health. We just stepped into that position.
Did you have what's her name before the council opened?
Karen you like she is right under the CEO now. So she moved up, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you can talk to Leon.
Yeah, no, that's a valid question.
Is everyone just sending stuff in? Yep. Okay.
I've wondered that myself, so yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah.
That's zero complaints.
From my experience, we will ask that question, and it's a mixed answer with how often you're considered at all by your case.
Unfortunately, like with a lot of donor goals, it's self-report by provider.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know for certain, but they should be able, if they don't have a formal process in place, that's something that I can ask for them to do to make sure that that's happening. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
So as part of the contract you guys have for that, Tara, is there outline the contract itself, there'll be some expectancies that there will be so many visits here.
Let me check. I'm not
100%. Yeah, I realize you want the contract printing, but I'm just to,
no.
That should be spelled out.
That's a good place to.
At least it had been.
That's where it would be definitely is a provider manual. Do you remember seeing something like that?
So, I mean, it has engagement expectations.
Right.
For the different populations. And so I think it's divided by like the AGMH or the SMI child populations, but it does have engagement.
Yeah, I know about the engagement piece, but I don't know if there's anything specific to housing where it actually spells that out. That's a good place to start. I'll check on that.
Okay. You still have to follow up. January 28th, if that works for Susan Moreno again has taken the lead temporarily in terms of special populations and death of a family, so she's been overwhelmed with family. And so does Judy Wallen, also taking temporary leave to take care of her son. Hopefully, returning again, like we've seen in the past, but I just want to FYI based on that.
I know right now, especially with foster care, there's a lot of community events going on right now to for foster parents and for ones that are licensed and unlicensed. I know Aviva Children's Services, they are giving out. So many items for each foster family that comes in, and each foster kid comes in. They don't have to be licensed to get in. So they're hosting that. I know each one of the agencies right now is in the works of getting gifts to give out to their foster families that are licensed. Golden Ranch always does amazing, and they always get a ton of donations, and then we give it out to their foster families as well. So there's a lot of things right now going on in the community for our foster families that are licensed and unlicensed both, which is a great. And some of the stuff is just like, I know for Intermountain, we hosted our Christmas party last week in Oro Valley at one of the churches, and it came out with really amazing. And each one of the agencies does that every year for their foster families. But then for the unlicensed foster families, we're working with AZCH on how we can work with those unlicensed families and getting them licensed, or how we can get them support through the recovery coach or whoever it is. If they can't be licensed, then what does that look like, and how can we still hook them up to some supports?
places like More Than a Bed, the care centers like that, they're amazing. They're all offering trainings. We all got new contracts, 10-1 for foster care. So it lists out like different support groups that we have to offer for adoptive homes, regular kinship homes, and licensed foster homes as well. So each one of our agencies has tapped into different support groups around Pima County to help support that to get the tenants up for our foster families. So that's been a really big thing that we've been working on in the last couple of months. And expanding too. So I know one of the things that our mountain does, we're now all over in southern Arizona. So a lot of agencies, not only do they get Pima County, but they have like Yuma and Nogales and Sierra Vista and stuff like that. And we're turning into Phoenix too. So what we can do as far as how we can help the process like getting bigger and bigger. So, and how we can spread awareness of foster care and stuff like that. So it's been good. Around Christmas, everybody comes out to try to volunteer.
Any other comments on Chance? Thank you. Reaching out, just jumping back to outreach, I got a hold of Mommy. Who's the new director now?
Yeah.
Person, yeah.
Has Christine Wells filled the interim position?
Yeah.
Yeah, she, when she was leaving, she stepped in the interim and they were doing a search.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just had a permanent part of this one. They've got a whole new one.
Black Romans person that talked to them about some of that area.
Yeah. I used to work with Christine.
Yeah.
And I've got her current login job to her.
Because that's a good, obviously, we're getting on the forefront or in the trenches hearing family members calling about getting services, and we have someone here as a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, Phyllis Grant, our rep doc, was going to attend here. I talked to her for Susan Moreno's place. Working on that to see if we can start building ourselves back up.
But you've talked to Phyllis?
Because
she's with Vic now. She's with the Family Development Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I discovered Susan Mann was a good little call. She's interested in coming here. I spoke with her. She said, oh, great. Well, thank you. I'm really interested. You know, it's okay to take your time. Before we get to So bylaws, we'll get maybe some hard copies printed or whatever we want to make have out for the meeting.
Oh, how about I send that in 2 days? With that attachment.
Yeah,
just one more time ask, because it's very short. Is it a page or so? Not 2 pages.
Yeah, that's
all.
Pages.
It's really, it just, the question is how do you feel as adopting as they stand?
Okay, no problem.
I'll send that out.
Okay, so that will be a follow-up. We'll get that up and burn that up for 28th. We'll be there the next one for 28th.
Yes.
Get that done. Okay, so I can accomplish that. Everything as far as the REMA and the provider updates, any changes, locations, and that before we then
I don't have anything except for this one. It's just so good.
Do you want to mention that? She's on the
line. Sophie, if you're still on the line, are you still on the line?
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Sophie.
Are you asking for Dorothy? Who are you asking for?
Sophie.
Sophie?
Yes, Sophie's here.
Yeah, Barbara was just wondering if you could provide us a bit more information about the lunch and learn that you sent over.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. My pleasure. Hi, everyone. This is Sophie with United Healthcare. I sent over, and thank you, Barbara, a flyer for our lunch and learn that United Healthcare is hosting. It is available to our community partners and community members and any United Healthcare family member or member who is interested in learning a little bit more about our BDD health plan integration, which went live 10-1. Of this year. And just to give the group a little overview on what occurred, starting October 1st, United Healthcare, along with Mercy Care Plan, became the administrator of both the behavioral health and the medical benefits for our DDD population in the state of Arizona. So we're just going to give a quick overview on that integration, how United Healthcare has handled the integration, and what type of support United Healthcare has for our DDD support coordinators, our members, and their families. So it is on, January the 15th.
Sophie, I supplied flyers for everyone, and for those that didn't come to the meeting, I'll make sure I send them attachment, okay?
Thank you so much, Barbara. And it is a WebEx, so please call in if you have any, technical difficulties, please reach out to me and I can help facilitate that. But again, it is a WebEx and anyone is welcome to come.
Thanks, Sophie.
Anything else?
You're welcome.
Healthcare or?
Otherwise, no, I don't have anything else to report. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you for submitting that. Thank you for being online. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
See you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Merry
Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you next month.
Yes.
Wonderful. As far as report from the public, I don't think we have anyone here from the public. I think, here is involved directly. Is there anything else to add to it as far as just the comments or questions or things we should get on here?
Would you like a quick update? I guess, yeah. So quick update. Yeah, just a quick update from ADOA. As of right now, we're in a different room, but January's meeting, you will resume your meetings back in room 222. The call-in number from today will remain the same as well for that meeting. With the same PIN being used as well. Yes. Correct, for your January meeting. As of regards to update with the manual that is still sitting with the leadership at ADOA, we're hoping to have some type of response here shortly. Access chairs are requesting a sit down before that manual is, if it is approved, to just have a conversation about recommendations that were sent over to ADOA leadership. So that's definitely on the works. I know Larry's working on that right now behind the scenes. For now, I will continue to be attending your meetings. It's just closer for me than Larry to get over here. If I can't make it in person, I will let you guys know. I think so far I've been able to let you guys know in advance if I could come or not. With the approval of the manual, if that does happen, some administrative stuff responsibilities will be transferred over to access liaison if that manual is approved, that is. But since there are chairs requiring a sit down with ADOA leadership, I don't know what that'll look like. I don't know if there were any changes made. I don't know what comments and suggestions they included on the manual revision, if any. Yes, so those are being printed. And I'm hopeful to bring that over at your next meeting. I know that we did talk about brochures and business cards as well. So I'm hoping I have those available. Those are, as far as I know, last week they were in the printing process, but because of the holidays that happened, unfortunately they are backed up. But I am bringing some of those business cards and brochures over to you all. IOC, we do have that website for you all. If you haven't had an opportunity to take a look, it's IOC@az.gov. We also have a little nice calendar that we created. And that calendar was intended for any events that the committee members would like to add onto the calendar. So if there's any outside activity or event that you'd like us to place on that calendar, please send that over to us. We are more than happy to post that on there. The calendar is just to help, again, the Independent Oversight Committee statewide just come together and collaborate. If they could attend events that are coming up, if they could see them, that's on our website. So please take a look. That's about it. Any other questions, concerns?
I love that website, Tammy. I needed some forms again, and because I went to an old manual I had on my computer and saved from one of the samples, and pulling up forms off here is the point is the website.
Yes, the website does have those forms that you said, and they have it both on PDF and Word format. So either or, if you guys need them, they're on the website. We're hoping to make that a little bit more handy and include trainings as well for new membership. If and when they do, you know, they are appointed, have them go through training on there. So that's our next phase, is to include some training on there. You're welcome.
So hopefully we'll get a preview of the manual before it goes to final print, so that there's some.
Yeah.
And then again, it'll be up to ACOA to submit it, but I was the governor's office, or is it the course in terms of interfacing with access? In other words, does access have to then review it and say we accept?
No, I don't think that's how it goes. I think that the director ADOA has that final say, and then it does go over to the governor's office for review. But I could follow up on that. That's a great question. I don't know if the governor has to approve it or not. I don't think so, but I can clarify for you.
Well, yeah, I would think that. Yeah. But again, just keep out of it. You can change the responsibility. PRA versus that person, but alongside of the access.
I definitely have an answer for you, but
I
doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it.
Okay, well then, looks like we have a meeting scheduled for January 28th, 2020, room 222 at 10:30 a.m. And so with the meeting of this district South, Independent Oversight Committee is adjourned. The next meeting, as I mentioned earlier, is in February. So stay in touch. Thank you again for
having me
out here from Arizona, Phoenix.
Thank you.
The phone's easy to handle down there too, if I'm not alone.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. I will hang up the call. Thank you so much for joining.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.